Coming up in today's show, I'll be talking to Willie Whelan from The Adventure Project.
This is 90.3.
This is Real FM.
Hi, Willie. Delighted to have you here today with us.
Good morning. How's things?
Good. Did you have your very own ABBA cassette way back in the day?
I don't remember ever buying ABBA cassettes, no. No.
I think the Super Trooper album was my first when I was 10, but a long, long time ago.
God.
A wise man told us earlier that I think that ABBA brought in, generated more income for the country than, was it Saab and Volvo together?
So I believe.
Goodness me.
Wow. So I believe.
So listen, you're here with us today. We met, very lucky to be a volunteer involved with the Adventure Project. So maybe you could tell the listeners a little bit about the Adventure Project and how it all started.
Oh God, that's a long story. So first of all, we're a non-profit social enterprise. We run adventure programs basically for a range of groups. So that could be educational, developmental, therapeutic, for groups ranging from local schools, youth groups, kids in trouble with the police, addiction, adults in recovery from addiction. We've run stuff for probation, prison service, a wide range of groups. And occasionally we run stuff for young people in care.
And when you say they're this stuff, what kind of projects, what do they do? So what is the Adventure Project, what do you actually do? So if I'm, if I'm a 17-year-old who's been in trouble and I'm coming down to you guys, what's in store?
Okay, so it depends very much on the time of year, the weather, the young person or the adult that we're involved with, what the goals of the session are.
Okay.
But we do a range of activities from rock climbing,
brilliant,
kayaking, canoeing, hill walking, caving, co-steering, which involves swimming in the sea.
And do you teach anybody that's coming down to do this?
Yeah. So the most common thing we do is we sell a program, or we deliver a program over 6 weeks. We call it an introduction to adventure skills. And over the 6 weeks, they get an introduction to six different adventure activities,
brilliant,
or sports.
Brilliant.
We do run programs in a single sport.
Mm-hmm.
Most commonly, we run programs, a mix of a range of different activities, sports.
I imagine too that, so my thing is heights. I'm going to be the greatest with heights.
Yeah.
But I'd love to rock climb or to abseil down. So how does it work then if you're bound to meet people who potentially are coming from a complex background anyway.
Yeah.
And then throw a bit of fear at the top of a cliff, into it. How does that work?
Well, you'd actually be surprised the amount of people that come to us and say, I started rock climbing because of a fear of heights, or I started canoeing because of a fear of water.
Yeah.
So people already identify those environments as being one that can challenge them and that can help them overcome a fear, which is cool.
And are there age groups? Is there kind of a youngest,
We work with anyone from about 8 upwards.
Okay.
So we've had people out in their 60s who are still kind of struggling with addiction and trying to get their lives back together.
Yeah.
We work with young kids, so we're based in the northeast inner city.
Mm-hmm.
So we're a stone's throw away from the Five Lamps. I think everybody knows the Five Lamps.
Yeah, only down the road from here.
Yeah, and we've a small, an old lock keeper's cottage there that we base our activities and stuff around. And we're directly across the road from lots of the flats complexes in the inner city. So we run programs for the kids in the flats.
Brilliant.
From 8 upwards.
And how do they hear about it? I'm sure they see the activity coming in and out. And how do they kind of find out? Is it curiosity, or do you guys contact them? Or
the younger group are an unusual group because the reason we set up a group for the younger kids, the 8 to 12-year-olds, was that a lot of the youth services out there, their funding is restricted to 12+ mm-hmm. age group. So there's nobody really doing anything with these younger kids. And I mean, we're literally so close to them that they can look over their balcony and they can see us.
Yeah.
So they're coming down to us saying, can we get in?
Yeah.
Can we get involved?
Yeah.
Can we do this and that and the other? And of course, we said, of course you can. So
we
set up groups for them. So we've a couple of groups now, and they meet a couple of nights a week. And we bring them out, doing activities. We throw them into the minibus, take them out of the city. We were in Dalkey yesterday, rock climbing in Dalkey with a group of the 8 to 12-year-olds. Next week, they might be learning water sports at the canal. It varies.
So your staff then must be highly skilled and qualified to be able to do this. And then, of course, Garda vetted, which is very important.
Yeah. So I'm just thinking of one particular staff member we have at the moment who's actually on maternity leave. So She's a qualified mountain leader. She's a qualified rock climbing instructor. She's a lifeguard. She's a kayak instructor.
Brilliant.
She's a swift water rescue technician. She's an orienteering instructor. She's an honours degree in outdoor education and facilitation. She's a level 6 in counselling psychotherapy. You know, she's training qualifications in addiction. So the guys that work with us are really highly qualified. They can deliver all these outdoor programs, but they also have the knowledge, the theoretical backgrounds of.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Does she have her own Wonder Woman cape?
Yeah, all the staff have their own little Wonder Woman outfits. Yeah, boys and girls, have Wonder Woman outfits.
Exactly, not gender specific, but exactly. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering then, so if you were, you know, for example, we're here at Near FM today and it's a great mixture of guys and ladies here. And, you know, it might be a bit of fun for them to come down and do a course with you guys or try it out. And I think what you said there was really interesting about trying to overcome fears and actually, now that you've said it, I think, okay, enough, just go do it. So
yeah,
I'm
booking
myself in.
Yeah.
But it might be a nice thing, you know, for a Near FM, or if you're a local business and you want to do something a little bit different for your staff, you know, there's lots of different team building things going on and going to do. But this, to me, seems to be a little bit different. And because you're city-based, it's very accessible. So that, you know, a lot of companies might have to organise logistics to get out of the city and travel, you know, maybe an hour or so, whereas you're on the doorstep, you know. So if companies or schools or anybody's interested in finding out more, how do they do that?
The best thing to do is just to email me, maybe, you know. My email address is willie@theadventureproject.ie. So if people want to email us, that's cool. This idea of doing stuff for corporate groups is something that we haven't really explored too much, but we're keen to.
Mm-hmm.
So where we're based down in Dublin 1, we've got some of the most deprived communities in the country, literally across the road from some of the wealthiest companies in
the
world. Yeah. And we really haven't tried hard enough. It's a goal for ours now coming through through the winter to connect with these companies, try to get them out. I mean, these guys already purchase team building days and events from organisations. They do that already.
Yeah.
So what we need to do is we need to try to tap into these guys, go and meet them, talk to them. Mm. We can deliver amazing programmes. They're getting value for money. They're getting the same thing they get off any other organisation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus, they're getting the knowledge that the money that they spend, any profits made on that, goes straight back into helping local people.
Yeah, absolutely. And goes back into their own community on their doorstep, which I think is critical.
Absolutely.
And I think that your model that you have as a social enterprise and is phenomenal. I know that, you know, when you've been looking at it across the country and even across the globe, to have social enterprise that really gives back to the community the way you guys do is quite unique in some sense. So do you think at some point that this could be rolled out across definitely this country? You know, there are very deprived areas all over the country, not just the cities and towns, and it can take, I don't know whether they can, you know, replicate you and the team and kind of position you all across the country, because that'd be pretty fantastic if they could. But I think it's like anything, funding obviously is key, you know, and that development.
Yeah.
But I mean, is it something that longer term, or that if you had that support, financial support there, that you would be interested in doing, you'd like to do?
So one of our medium to long term goals is to replicate what we do in Dublin's inner city and do it in other parts of Dublin and also do it in other parts of the country. Which kind of leads on to, we've got a course starting now in September.
Okay.
So some of the guys that we've worked with in the past coming through addiction, so they kind of want to take the next step. So they come out with us for 6 weeks. They really love it. They get into it. They see the benefits of it. And they feel the benefits of it. And they think, what can I do next? I'm finished my recovery program. I've gone through that phase now. It's time to move on. So we thought, let's set up a course for these guys. So we've got a QQI, which is the old FETAC. People might remember FETAC. So this is a level 4 course for these guys.
With the education department.
So this is part funded by the City of Dublin Education and Training Board. And the idea is to train these guys up to be instructors, to be able to work in the industry, be able to give back. And on our interview, part of the requirements was, or part of the things that impressed us and led us to offer in places was, we'd ask people, so what's your goals for the next few years? And a lot of the guys, their goals was to replicate what we do and do it like in Talla or in Ballyferm or Finglas. Back to the areas that they come from. So deliver similar programs in their own areas because they see a need for it.
Yeah.
So that's one of our goals over the next few years, is to facilitate these guys, help them, train them up, and hopefully we can replicate the adventure project in other areas.
Because if you think about it, every single town, village has a river, stream that comes through it as well. Yeah. So you know, there could be adventure project kayaks all over the country.
Hopefully.
You know, why not?
Hopefully.
But I know, how did you start?
God, it's a long story. I'll condense it if I can. So years and years ago, one of the priests, I lived in Cabra West years ago, one of the priests set up an organisation, a youth group, for want of a better word, and I was involved in it. And they brought us off down to a place in Wicklow called Lugala, which is actually for sale at the moment.
Right.
But we had a house down there, he had a house down there, and he brought us down there. And we went climbing hills and paddling the rivers and all sorts, and we had great time. Then life took over, I got married, went away to work, had kids, came back, and I kind of thought, I was working on a building site, and I kind of thought, I'm getting a bit fed up with this, I wonder could I do anything. So I took up rock climbing as a hobby. It was always something in the back of my mind that I'd love to go back to, and through rock climbing I met lots of people, and I met people who do outdoor education as a living, that's what they do, and I asked, how do you get involved in this, and they told me, go to college, study, blah blah blah. So I went back to college, came through that. I worked for an organisation called CYC, they're Crosscare now.
Okay.
So we deliver programmes to young people, teenagers in different areas in the city, deprived areas of the city, which was really cool. But then I thought, maybe I can do this on my own, maybe I can do a little bit more, maybe and work with adults as well. So I've got me, like everyone I suppose in Dublin or in the country, I've known people throughout my life. I've friends and family who've been in trouble with the police, who've been in prison, I know people who are addicted. I mean, my wife lost two cousins to addiction only in the last year.
But you know
these stories, and you realise these guys aren't different to us, they just made mistakes. They did something wrong in their life, they made a mistake, and they're trying to get their lives back together. So I thought, why can't we use outdoor education to help people to do this? So that whole idea might be unique to Ireland, but certainly not in other countries. So this is done in America, it's done in Australia, to a lesser extent in the UK. So it's something that happens in other places, but not yet in Ireland.
And was there a light bulb moment? I mean, did you wake up one morning and say to your wife, right, you're going to think I've lost it completely here, but I'm giving up my job and this is what we're going to do?
Well, I never really had it in the first place to lose. But yeah, there was a moment where I said, I think I'm going to go back to college. I think, you know, and she, in fairness, she was really supportive.
Yeah,
so
yeah. It's a big decision.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And it involves a huge amount of work.
Yes, it does, yeah.
A huge amount of work. And there's never been one crossword between us over. Yeah. She's never like, she fully supports what's happening. And what
so
I'm
she
doing,
has a know. Wonder Woman cape as well.
She must have somewhere,
exactly. Yeah, so that's amazing. So how did, till that light bulb moment happened and then you thought, right, let's go do this. So how did you end up down in North Strand in the gorgeous loch?
Yeah. I suppose we've been in operation 5 years. The first 3 years, we didn't have a premises.
Yeah.
So I basically bought a minibus, bought a van, bought some equipment, and I delivered programs for free for the first couple of years. So I went around and I just delivered programs.
Wow.
So we'd charge people a fee to run a program for them, but I wouldn't take wages. So I'd put the money in the bank and I'd purchase more equipment. And you're building up the business that way, like a lot of new business. That's what you have to do.
Exactly, you have
to work your ass off and get money together. So that's what I did. Waterways Ireland contacted me a couple of years ago and they said, we're looking for somebody to design a program that we can roll out across the country, that we can, like a booklet that they could give to a scout leader or a youth worker.
Yeah.
And they can just go to this booklet and they can fill it in as they go with their young people. So we're going to deliver this. 1 week we're going to do kayaking, 1 week we're going to do stand-up paddleboarding, 1 week we're going to do water safety. And there was a little tick box, so there was a book that they could use to help them deliver the program. And there's a little log book that the young people participating could go, I've done this, 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 and tick off things as they learned.
Yeah.
So we designed that log book for them, we gave it to them. And at one of the meetings, just an off the hand remark, I said to one of the guys, Benny was his name, you guys must have a building somewhere in the city you could give me. And he kind of went, yeah, actually, we do have a building. We're looking for somebody to take it over the tenant. So he said, why don't you put in an application? So we put in an application. It was a bit of a dragon's den kind of a scenario. We had to present to a couple of people and we had a few meetings, but we got the building. So what we saw, in the fairness to them, they've been really good. We've a lovely little building down on the North Strand, down beside the Five Lamps. The lease is really cheap. Like I think they charge us €100 a year or something. So it's ridiculously
just on the
cheap.
Bridge, isn't it? On the bridge there, just before the flats.
Newcomen Bridge. Yeah,
it's brilliant. Yeah.
I'd say half of Dublin goes by. There's so many buses coming down there. I'd say lots of people pass us.
I think the top of the buses know all about it.
Exactly. Downstairs, maybe not.
Exactly. Yeah. It's incredible to think that your passion. The one thing that strikes me about you is that you're so humble about it all. And that it really is very much driven by your very genuine passion and commitment to want to do something to help others.
Yeah.
And that's very special. And I think it can be quite unique. And I think what's also amazing is that for the last 4, 5, 6 years that you haven't lost any of that. Mm-hmm. You know, that it's still there from when you started. And I think to have a supportive spouse and family beside you to do that is part and parcel of why it works, you know, because if that wasn't there either,
I know
it could be very different.
It'd be impossible. Yeah,
yeah, you know, yeah. It would be, because I've just met you a couple of times and I wonder, do you ever go home, do you ever sleep? You know, rumor has it you have beehives.
Well, I have a couple of hives in the garden.
So you've got to talk about that a little bit.
I don't have much off time.
Yeah,
but the one off time I have is I have a couple of beehives in the garden, myself and my son. So we're not doing it too long, we're only doing it a year or so we keep bees.
Brilliant.
And it's very therapeutic, it's very relaxing. It feels like you're doing something to help. You know, you look at the planet and you think, oh god, the place is being destroyed. I do anything at all? And the one little thing maybe I can do is I can keep bees and I can plant plants that and you know, every morning I get up out of bed. Before I leave the house, I have a chair beside the beehive and I go out and I just sit down for 5 minutes, and that's me chill. That's me relaxing time. And I just
brilliant
sit there and
the
it's buzz, in and out, and just go, right, I'm ready for work now. And I out the door, okay, I go, or out the door.
That's brilliant.
It's cool, yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, you'd be selling the honey this time next year, maybe?
Oh, I don't know. Be more probably giving some away.
But it's amazing that you have this, you know, very grounded sense, I think, just about yourself, but also, you know, you're working in and you're coming back to an area that has been, that is, and everybody knows it, is much more deprived in the city than other areas, for example. So funding tends to be different in certain aspects of the city. You know, and you'd mentioned there Dublin City Council and waterways as well. So are there others that are very supportive of the work that you do? And, you know, how does that work for you guys?
Can I just say something before we move any further? So you bigged me up there a little bit a minute ago, but look, I honestly, genuinely, this is not a one man show. We have amazing staff who are as motivated as me, who've, you know, got similar backgrounds, who understand, who can empathise with guys who are, whether it's in addiction or, you know, or in care or whatever it is. So it's amazing, and I could not do this on my own without these guys. So it's finding special staff that makes a difference, you know.
I think that makes a difference. That says a lot about how it works and why it's successful. It is because all of you are so committed and so passionate about it. And it's a lovely thing to see.
Yeah.
I think probably coming up now we're gonna have a quick break.
Okay.
Your 24-hour community station.
867 1190.
Near FM.
Willie, just to take you back there before the break, we were just talking about how fantastic the Dublin City Council and the Waterways Ireland have been. So who else who have been partners of this, I suppose, this journey along the canal you've been on? And
Obviously Waterways Ireland, we without the building, we'd be in a completely different place. So that's been amazing. Dublin City Council. So the sports officers down in the northeast inner city, they've been amazing. Like they've funded programs. So we're delivering programs in the northeast inner city, funded by the city council, by a guy called Bruce, who's been really cool, really nice to deal with. Yeah, and now this new program that we have starting up, is part funded by the City of Dublin Education and Training Board, and we're actually delivering that in partnership with Coláiste de Dhiúlaigh College of Further Education, which is just up the road here.
That's tremendous. So,
yeah,
these guys and girls, when they're finished, then will have a real qualification.
Absolutely.
To be able to do this. I mean, that's just fantastic, because you can take it anywhere.
Yeah, well, it's a step for them. So a lot of these guys haven't completed education, their secondary school education. So it's a step back into education. It gives them, it opens the door for college, university, further studies. You know, so
I think also it's a completely different mindset, not just so much the college side, but to be doing something with education that takes you outside.
Yeah.
You know, and I was just curious earlier on when you were talking about the different types of kids and different types of adults that you have and different backgrounds, and just, you know, do you see... can you see an impact? It's very difficult sometimes to see the impact of your work, especially when you work in kind of third sector, not-for-profit and social enterprise. But there are tangible benefits to people coming through you, you know, so there must be a couple of different instances where you've thought, wow, you know, that really has given somebody a chance.
So, it's the straight answer to that answer is, there are benefits without a doubt. The problem always for outdoor education and this sort of thing is how do you measure those benefits?
Mm.
The only way really that we can measure those benefits is feedback from clients.
Yeah.
And we get that. We get that. So we don't specifically go out of our way. Maybe we should to get feedback from clients. But clients offer feedback. They volunteer feedback all the time, which is really cool. I mean, a very simple thing. We worked with a young person who'd been in care all his life. He had a bad upbringing. Let's leave it at that. And he'd been in care most of his life. And we brought him out once a week. We brought him climbing, hill walking, kayaking. We did all sorts of things with him. And one week, his social worker contacted us and said, she said, what you're doing for this kid is amazing. And we were like, how or why? She said, this kid, this is the first time in his life he's made happy memories, is when he's been out with us.
How old was he?
He was about 14 at the time, maybe 15.
It's heartbreaking, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yet, if you guys hadn't have met him, he wouldn't have those.
No. And he's 19 now.
Yeah.
And he still texts me or gives me a ring and says, you know, really, you know, things like, he rang me there a while ago saying, or text me saying, Willie, your brother said, I don't need to bother wearing a condom, you know. So you're like, oh, come on, man, don't be listening to your brother. Like he'd ring you and talk to you looking for advice, you know.
Well, it sounds like that possibly also that the group or some of you as adults possibly were maybe the first time in a long time that he had a different relationship with an adult.
Probably.
Than possibly that had before.
Yeah, probably.
You know,
probably.
So that at that age will have a massive impact on your life.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Positive, hopefully.
Positive
absolutely impact.
Positive.
Yeah.
Well, certainly, definitely that last instance that you mentioned anyway. But I think that to be able to do that and to give anybody an opportunity to see things slightly differently in that frame is incredible, because, you know, lots of us, I mean, I'm a culture, you know, lots of people who live in the city don't ever get beyond the city. And that's, you know, whereas we grew up across the fields.
I know.
You know, and it's a very different, like, we had a completely different childhood to our cousins who lived in a city. And so then for any of us who've got kids, we think that children who, you know, have same opportunity to run across the fields and do all the rest of it, it's just a completely different mindset.
I know.
And so your approach to things can be slightly different. And so I think that by nature of what you're doing, is not only giving the participants that slightly different mindset, but also probably the people who are bringing them there in the first place. Because I imagine if you have like that to somebody who is in care or, you know, prison services or any other services, they're going to be staff with them. So that they either, you know, they probably can't necessarily sit on the sidelines for the whole thing.
Yeah.
So some of them too will possibly also get involved. So there is this sort of different mindset of actually taking time, as you said, sitting beside the bees for 5 minutes in the morning grounds you. So this really will ground anybody that's looking for to step away and just do something slightly different, you know. Mm. So it's, I think that... I suppose as somebody who's been on the outside and looking in and listening to you guys and having met you guys, I think that definitely there are certain parties within even government that should come and try the service and meet, maybe come and do a service with some of the participants and maybe abseil down that cliff where
yeah well
learn,
that would be cool yeah
wouldn't
yeah.
it can
that
you just imagine cool. exactly yeah, yeah. So you know and that, you know, would you be open to extending an invitation like that
yeah,
to
why not absolutely yeah. anyone who wants to come out anybody
come on, Willie,
wants to come
who
out,
do you want to invite
it.
Now come
oh,
on Janie, let's just go for
know.
It
who has all the money that's
well,
who we need to invite we need
you know varying departments you know, could have yeah, money varying yeah. varying opinions on all that but yeah. so let's pick who do you want somebody from justice somebody from
yeah. health
health social
education
every,
all
yeah.
them
so you could have a bring cabinet them all you could have a cabinet
imagine.
A day out
imagine
cabinet,
having
team
the whole
building
cabinet on
day
the end
out.
Of a rope
could you imagine all helping each other
rock climbing
yeah and all of the parties together working together could you imagine
be amazing but look one of the things you just touched on there you were talking about bringing clients out and getting people involved so one of the great things we see is so for example if an addiction counsellor a key worker brings a group in recovery out to us
yes
okay and normally the relationship is I'm your key worker and I'm helping you advising you minding you facilitating whatever it is but the relationship can be completely flipped down
yes, yeah.
so suddenly we throw everybody into the
yeah,
sea
together
and
yeah.
the key worker is terrified
yeah.
and some of the clients are the strong ones all of a sudden
yeah.
and all of a sudden the client participant is helping the key worker
yeah.
giving them a dig out
yeah.
do you know and it changes the relationship it changes the way they see each other yeah. people become more on a level kind of platform
yeah.
rather than I'm
yeah,
your key worker
level.
And you're
yeah.
my client
yeah.
you know
yeah. or the stigma that could go with that cause, you know, there can
well
be.
Yeah I mean there's generally no stigma in those groups that
yeah.
you know that doesn't exist
yeah.
where I mean general population obviously there's stigma
yeah
but yeah
yeah, so
and we again another little thing you touched on we bring kids up the mountains all the time and they say it's often I've never been in the mountains before
yeah,
I've
yeah.
never been on the yeah. river before I've you know I've never been in the Liffey before
yeah, yeah.
and it's there like and the beaches are there like we're so lucky in Dublin we've such a cool city like we've the beach only beside us we've the mountains beside us we've several really cool rivers
yeah.
you know we've places to go rock climbing we've places we've forests we've woods we've parks do you know what? The weather isn't actually that bad.
No, and to be honest, in fairness, the weather doesn't really stop you from getting
no.
out. The way, not the way in other countries it can
no.
totally, you know, prohibit you.
No.
So I think that,
no.
it, you know, again, for different people who want to try something, either this could be completely in their comfort zone or not.
Or
I
not.
Mean, like, as you
yeah.
said, just take it on, you know,
yeah.
go for it.
Yeah, yeah. But we're, I mean, our guys are expert at pitching challenges at appropriate levels for
yeah.
people.
Yeah.
So our aim in every session is to challenge you, but we want you to succeed.
Mm.
So whatever level of ability you're at, we're going to challenge you, but you're going to be successful. That's one of the ways to build self-esteem
yeah.
is overcoming challenge and
yeah.
obstacles and you know feeling that sense of achievement, pride in yourself.
Yeah, I think that's do you know, I think that's really reassuring because if you think about everybody challenges themselves probably on a daily basis for all different kind
yeah.
of things but to have something like that to go away and feel that real sense of pride
yeah.
you
yeah.
know so not every a marathon isn't for everybody for different reasons but coming off that off
yeah.
the edge of that cliff with the rope and
yeah.
having that successful
yeah.
kind of sense
yeah.
of achievement in a day is
yeah.
probably very doable for definitely people like me so
yeah.
I've talked myself into it now already
yeah. and a lot of services will talk to their young people or their adult their clients and they'll talk about developing resilience they'll talk about developing mechanisms to help them to deal with fear
yeah.
and challenge they'll talk about team working together as a team and that's all great so you can talk about all this stuff in groups but to actually go and practice it
yeah
that's
yeah.
more concrete that's
yeah.
more effective so
yeah.
let's bring the guys out let's
yeah.
let's challenge them
yeah.
let's put them through hardship let's develop resilience like rather than saying you need to develop
yeah.
resilience
yeah.
let's
yeah.
bring them out let's practice developing resilience
yeah.
and let's do it in a concrete way you
yeah,
know
you can't back out halfway down the cliff with
no and you know Mother Nature provides consequences that you can't discount you know so if you're in a boat and I'm explaining to you how to stay upright and if you don't want to listen to me that's fine but you're going to go upside down and you're going to get wet and possibly cold you know so there's no but you know what I mean
like
a lot of the time people consequences don't matter
no.
but if we're in the mountains and I show you how to build a shelter to keep yourself dry
yeah.
and you don't build your shelter the
yeah.
way you should you're going to get wet Mother Nature's going to
yeah.
punish you not me like
I think the really great thing about that is the fundamental basic need to listen
yeah.
so I would imagine that there's
yeah.
probably parents all over the city going oh my god can we ship all our teenagers off
everybody
ship all the teenagers off just to learn how to listen for like
yeah.
you know but it's you know what? It's so true.
Yeah.
It is so true. And then if you were to be looking for people to help you, you know, you talked about the lock that's down there. And so have you everything that you need facility wise or?
No, we don't. It's the straight answer.
Yeah.
So when we took over the lock, it was boarded up for a few years, 5 or 6 years. It was homeless people sleeping in it. It was being used for drug taking, antisocial behaviour. And we put a post on Facebook, anyone interested in volunteering. So that was when that volunteering idea started. Brilliant. And we got lots of local people came down. They gave their labour for free.
Brilliant.
So we were given a grant of €10,000 from the Inner City Enterprise Board. And with the €10,000 and the voluntary labour, we renovated the place. We renovated the place to what it is today. So it's a cool space now. So we have toilets there now. We have a big room that we can use for meetings, for changing, for whatever, a little small kitchen. So it's really nice. But we could deal with other stuff. Like, I mean, we could deal with proper changing facilities, which we don't really have at the moment.
Yeah. So like if there was somebody local to you or on the north side who wants to give back to you, like construction company, whatever, they should give you a shake.
Absolutely.
Get in touch,
that would be cool. Yeah, absolutely. Even individuals, even if there was an individual, you know, a carpenter out work or something, who was saying, I'll come down and throw the roof on that building for you, or I'll give you a dig out, hang a couple of doors, or paint, or a bit of plaque, whatever. Like, and that's how we did the original building. So we got lots of people to volunteer and do all that sort of stuff. And it changed the whole area around that cottage changed when we took it over. So the first thing we used to do every morning when we went into work was we used to do a real check around the place and make sure there were no syringes and stuff, drug paraphernalia.
Yeah.
We haven't seen that now in a year. So we no longer see any of that sort of stuff. There's a group of lads who hang around on the canal street drinking and stuff.
Yeah.
They've started putting their cans in the rubbish bag instead of throwing them into the
into
canal
the river,
or underground.
Yeah.
They put their cans in the rubbish bag. You know, the people in the flats look down on us and think,
yes, it's much nicer
it's
environment.
Much nicer
everybody.
Environment. Like, I've gotten phone calls going, Willie, I'm looking down over the balcony here. There's someone in your cottage breaking your flowers. Will I tell them to go away? And I'd say, you wouldn't mind, that'd be great. And you'd hear them going, hey, are you, get that, beep, 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 and go, they're gone, you know. So stuff like that is amazing. Like, the local community really have bought into it. The local kids come down, they swim there now where they hadn't previously. It's really cool.
Did
it's amazing what's going on.
Did you have somebody this week who caught a pike?
One of our staff, we had a break there the other day fishing, about a 2 hour break, and he brought his fishing rod in to work. He said, I'll have a bit of fish, a bit of fishing on me break. And he caught a pike, man, must have been nearly a metre long.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And the kids, now it just so happened there was a few of the local kids were around fishing and they couldn't believe it. They'd never seen a fish this big come out.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah.
Might make me think twice about jumping into the old canal there with a big pike coming
at you. I'd say
they're
more fair than you, you are.
Anything else that you can think of? You know, do you need people to come down and help? Do volunteers fix a bit of a garden, paint a wall?
Yeah, potentially. So we do have volunteers come out with us. I think we've 4 days a week now at the moment. We've people coming out, volunteering, helping us with groups.
So are they skilled outdoor?
They'd have a certain level of skill. Yeah,
okay.
So they wouldn't be complete novices.
Yeah,
no, they're not experts. They're not qualified, but they just come out and give us a hand with group management and to help us to wash wetsuits or whatever it
is.
Do they
need to
be
guard vetted or?
Yeah, well, people who are coming out regularly would need to be guard vetted.
So you guys can organise that for them.
We can guard vet people if necessary. And then there's always work to be done. There's always work to be done, tidying up, cleaning, you know, doing maybe a bit of gardening, painting. Like, there's always bits and pieces of jobs that need doing. That'd be cool if we could get people involved in. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Any sort of specialised skills that you'd need? You know, you talked about there the changing rooms. And so what those kind of projects, what type of skill set do you need for that? Or what do you need for that? You know, if I said, here's a blank check, what would you do tomorrow?
Well, we have planning permission, an application in for planning with the City Council at the moment to build changing rooms, so male or female changing rooms. So, I mean, if we could get help to build those things, that would be cool, that'd be amazing.
Okay.
If somebody was willing to come and give us a dig out with that. I mean, we're restricted for space. If we had that changing facility built, that'd be great. That'd make a fair difference.
Yeah. And have you store room for all your kit? Where is all your kit?
We have a couple of shipping containers that we store all our equipment in. So they're fine, they're secure, they're adequate. For the moment, yeah.
But at some point you probably need...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, let's get our change rooms built one step at a time. We got our change rooms built first, and then we maybe think about planning permission for a bigger, maybe a bigger building with a classroom and stuff, office, a classroom. That type
and then
of thing.
Just back on the your change rooms and your washrooms, do you need like electricians and plumbers and carpenters? You
all
said
of the
there
above.
As well.
All
so
of
pretty
the
much a group could get together and...
Yeah.
You know, almost part construct that in a way.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, that would be ideal.
Yeah, it'd be a lovely project for...
Be a lovely project for somebody or a group of people. Yeah.
Somebody to come down and sort your garden out.
Sort us out.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, the big thing we need is, I mean, we're delivering programmes. What will get us to deliver more programmes is money at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So...
What do you need money for?
Well, we need money to deliver more programmes. It's as simple as that. Okay. We need to pay staff to go and run programmes for groups.
Yeah.
Lots of groups we work with are funded.
Yes, yeah.
So that they have some money and they can afford to pay something towards the cost. Lots of groups we work with have very little funding or no funding and can't afford to pay.
Yeah.
And I mean, like I listed off one of our staff members' qualifications and all our staff are like that. And these guys are amazing and they have to be paid.
Yeah.
They're professional at what they do. They deserve to be paid and
yeah.
So costs.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, a wetsuit costs money. Buoyancy costs money. Insurance is as you can
imagine,
is quite pricey.
Yeah.
So it's an expensive enough service to deliver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think you talked about it earlier that people that are paying and that money's gone back into the business.
Yeah.
You said very early on there.
Yeah.
You didn't take a salary for a couple of years, and all the money went back in to buy equipment. I mean, part of me thinks that's totally insane, and then I think, oh my god, like just how phenomenal, you know. But still, people have to live and have rent, mortgages, and to feed their children and all the rest of it. So you're absolutely right.
Well, I mean, look, I suppose I'm quite a political person, but at the same time, I'm not. Like, I look around the city and I see there's homelessness, there's addiction, there's crime, there's issues with the health service, and I think, you know, like a lot of people, we believe, if I vote, is it going to make much of a difference? Is one vote going to make much of a difference? So, I mean, one of the catalysts to make me think about doing this was, how can I change, improve the society, this community that I live in? And the way that I decided to do that was to set this up and do something rather than giving out and moaning about people, which I kind of still do as well. but doing something concrete, not just sitting your ass and give out, go and do something. It's not that difficult.
And you were talking about measurement... measuring earlier on, and actually a really good measurement is the guys who've all come back and reapplied for your courses, who've all been through your
shorter
courses.
Program
I mean, something somewhere has sparked something in them to kind of say, actually, do you know what, this is
something,
and I don't have to be stuck indoors doing whatever it is. So
And we also, as well as that course, we also have groups that go out every Saturday.
Yeah.
So we've a hill walk and rock climbing group, and we've a kayaking group.
Okay.
And we go out alternate Saturdays.
Okay.
And therefore, we say they're for adults in recovery from addiction.
Yeah.
We say they're for family and friends of those guys.
Yeah.
And they're for local people who live near us or who work near us.
Yeah.
And so again, those guys who've been on the shorter term programs, they come back. They come out with us on a regular basis. Yeah. We see them all the time, and they benefit from it.
Yeah.
Do you know, and down the road, what we do ultimately like to do is get those guys to be able to bring their kids down and bring these kids to all these amazing places that we can visit and experience all these experiences and have the fun, which is really, really important. Like, you know,
So they see what the city really has to offer.
Absolutely,
which is, you're right, so important. You know, how many of us work in the city and don't do all the things that we actually should do. So
you can look at the city and go, oh, Howth is beautiful. Yeah, Howth is beautiful, but if we go deeper, like there's some really cool stuff to do in Howth. There's some really cool place to go swimming. There's some caves to swim through and explore, and cliffs to jump off. You know, there's some really cool hidden beaches. There's a spot to go, a couple of spots to go rock climbing. There's forests and woods. You know, so Howth is beautiful, but when you look even deeper, there's some really cool little spots. The same with Dalkey. The same with the Dublin Mountains. If you go to the Phoenix Park, like, this stuff is all over the sea, and people just don't know it exists. You just need to show people. And spark their imagination.
Yeah, do little tour guides on your Facebook.
Maybe a little map.
Maybe fun map. So if people want to get in touch with you, how do they do that? So Facebook, are you on?
Yeah, so we're on Facebook, The Adventure Project. Easy to find us. We have a website, www.theadventureproject.ie. Again, that kind of explains everything we do, type of groups we work with, how to book, all that kind of stuff.
And your email address.
I have an email address, Willie, W-I-L-L-I-E, @theadventureproject.ie. And any inquiries, if you bang them off to that email address, I'll be back on to you and give you whatever more information.
And then I guess just, I suppose I was curious, have you, you know, been around to see, I mean, probably in everybody's, in every businesses, every, sorry, type of business everybody's in, they tend to look at, you know, who else is out there and what they do, and they kind of go and visit. And so are you guys at the moment really just the only one like this?
No. There are other organisations around the country. I think we're probably slightly different than most of them, but lots of them are doing similar stuff.
There's a
couple of guys down around Cork, Waterford, Wexford area who do a lot of work with young people in care, and they do some really cool stuff down there as well.
So
I think they do a lot of work for the likes of Tuesday, you know.
Yeah.
There's an organisation, Dublin Crosscare, they have an adventure sports team, and they deliver programmes to youth groups,
their own client groups.
So those guys are cool, and we all know each other. It's quite a small community, the adventure sports.
Yeah.
People
yeah,
who work in the adventure sports industry, it's quite a small community, so we all know each other, and it's cool, it's lovely, it's a lovely community to be involved in.
Brilliant. Well, it just sounds like you're doing incredible work.
Yeah.
I know we were talking about trying to get whoever, you know, ministers out there to come and try it out. I was just thinking, it's, you know, coming up to a couple of big GAA weekends, and you know, the Dubs are out there, and maybe post-match, Jim Gavin wants to help the lads let their hair down a
deadly,
bit,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
How
sure,
about
why
it?
Not? Why not? Bring them down. Bring them down. Yeah.
Go on, you ask him there, Willie.
Come down to us, man. Darda McCauley, come down to us. I met him. He's a cool guy. He works in the inner city as well. So, yeah, why not? Bring the whole team down and do something amazing.
Yeah. A crack, you know, a nice way to unwind.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't want to jinx it, but a nice way to unwind after the big match.
After
you know?
The big win.
After the big win.
Yeah. Cool. And we're only around the corner from Kroger.
Exactly. Yeah. Sure, look at